It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio here on the Q. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it is on your radio dial. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning. Welcome back to Lightning Radio this morning.
Good morning. Happy to be back. And we got a lot of breaking news. And you know what we say here at the Lightning, Mark?
What's that?
When news breaks, we fix it.
Excellent. You got a lot of fixing to do this week, as every week. Hey, let's start. I literally just a moment ago got a text that all virtual school classes today have been canceled due to some internet problems. I'm thinking that maybe due to the wind that we're having. I'm not real sure, but I got a text from one of the parents that virtual school today has been canceled. So I'd be interested to know more about that situation. But I wanted to get that in very quickly, Bill, as we start Lightning Radio this morning. Bill, vaccines, vaccines, vaccines. That's really the biggest news right now in Henderson County, where there's never a lack of news. Let's talk about, we've got a number of vaccine stories we want to talk about this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's vax all the time, every hour of every day, and every hour and every minute that people are on hold. But let's remember, let's appreciate the tabletop that holds all of these stories, and that is, yes, there is a vaccine. Everybody that has anything to do with this, from the lowest ranking volunteer, although they all deserve to be held up and thanked, to the highest ranking hospital administrator or Department of Public Health or county commissioner, for that matter, urges patients, says you will get a vaccine. And there's some good news on how this is organized. Well, I'll lead with that. The headline in the Hendersonville Lightning, and this is didn't make it in time for the this happened after the print deadline for this week's print product. Here's the link to sign up for new COVID vax wait list.
Yeah.
And we checked it out. It works. It's simple. It's about three or four steps. You sign up for the wait list. You get an email confirmation within minutes. And I want to do a bit more reporting. I assume you get a call and an email, probably a call to set an appointment once there's enough vaccines to reach your place on the waiting list. We did some reporting as well that yesterday afternoon that and that was before 5 o'clock. It went live sometime probably 2 or 3 o'clock. They had 1,500 on the wait list at that time, which actually was a little less than I thought, but the news had not been out very long at that point. And then keep in mind, too, that although by now it would have gone down by some few thousand, that number in Group 2, the over 65 population in Henderson County, is more than 30,000 people. There are still some stragglers in Group 1, which is patient-fronting healthcare providers, and there are always going to be some number, a fairly small number of new people popping into that group, what used to be called Group 1A,
yeah.
Because new hires at Pardee or they just have not signed up yet, and then they finally decide to take one. Remember, under the emergency use authorization, as I understand it, even a patient-fronting nurse can't be forced to take it because it's authorized under that federal emergency use authorization. In the meantime, we also had the report, I think it maybe yesterday morning.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we were talking about vaccines, vaccinations. We were just talking about the wait list that the health department has set up. And I was reminding folks that wait list, the link to that wait list, the web link is on the front page of our website. So let's continue with that story, because, again, like we said, lots of vaccine news.
Yeah, thank you. That's an easy way to get to it. That also is a hot link in the inside of the story that says here and on HendersonvilleLightning.com. So that's an easy way to get to it. I guess I shouldn't have made that crack about when news breaks. Right,
exactly. Exactly. So, but we're fixed
so
now. We're good.
We're going to describe, and I'll quickly run through, that the health department did a really good thing, I think. There was a huge amount of aggravation when all those calls last Wednesday morning went to voicemail that shouldn't have. They were supposed to be queued up and put on hold. They actually reached back. There were 2,500 voicemails in all. Andrew Mundick, the spokesman for the health department, said in an email about 2,100 indicated they still need an appointment. So instead of making or opening up their call center, they are calling, well, it'll be 360 of those 2,100 to offer them appointments. So that's good news there, and that's good customer service after a snafu, a regrettable, very regrettable snafu that aggravated a lot of people last week.
Yeah.
And then we've got Pardee. This goes to we'll have an even larger story about this. We'll get to in a minute. Pardee is resuming or continuing to schedule appointments through Friday, January 29. That's tomorrow. Through Friday only at this point, as a result of a recent diversion by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, Pardee said in a news release. Pardee, like many other vaccine providers in the region, will not receive a vaccine allocation for the upcoming week as originally anticipated. As a result, first dose vaccine appointments scheduled for the week of February 1st will be rescheduled. All second dose appointments will be kept. And one more shout out in this story from Dr. Ellis, the chief medical officer for Pardee, is that we are grateful to Blue Ridge Health for their recent transfer of 500 doses to Pardee's vaccine clinic.
Okay.
Their support enabled us to honor our commitment to patients scheduled this week. So they would have been in even a worse bind, and they would have been calling more people earlier this week to reschedule their appointments. So, and that segues nicely into the long front page story, kind of a feature on what's going on the ground from the call center. We spent about 2.5-3 hours reporting from the call center itself there in a windowless room on the ground floor of Pardee Hospital, where we open with 10 people are speaking into headsets as they type information into the COVID vaccine management system. On the other end of the line are lucky winners of the COVID-19 lottery. They have gotten through, always after a long wait, and they're getting appointments for their COVID vaccination. So we then follow that process. We explain how all that works. We explain the capacity of the phone system, how they get queued up, and how they eventually have the happy outcome, if they do, of getting through to one of these human beings and getting a time and a location for their appointment. And then we go to, this was really a great experience, to go to Blue Ridge Community College. There's a shout out to that partnership as well, Dr. Leatherwood and the entire health sciences, the dean of health sciences and of the nursing school, of course, works with them. It is a great benefit to BRCC as well, because there's 73 nursing students that are involved in punching that vaccine into the arms of mostly older people here in Henderson County and emergency workers and those Group 1A folks I talked about.
Yeah.
Jonna Reed, who led the Lightning on this tour back to the call center, said, these people are all 100% call center. The men and women in headsets are scheduling appointments through February 5th. We talked about it at that time. But here's, we're going to go to several quotes about the problem, the underlying problem. We don't know until the Tuesday of the week that we're in if we're going to get any more doses. So we will know Tuesday morning if we're going to get any doses Thursday. We didn't get any this week. That was last week. And she's talking about the problem that Dr. Ellis just talked about, which, excuse me, was partly relieved by help from Blue Ridge Community Health Services. So now next week, Jonna Reed told us, we're going to be out by Wednesday, so we are crossing our fingers. She goes on to say, yes, we want more vaccines to go to the community, but we also want a broader, more consistently dispersed distribution system, like you would think would be available with a flu shot, that there would be enough, and that it would also be at your doctor's office. It would be at the pharmacy. It would be just, of course, more widely available. Steve Smith, the director of the County Department of Public Health, told county commissioners last week, I think one of our frustrations as vaccine providers is we do not get any reliable forecasts about what's going to happen 2 weeks from now or a month from now. That was Mr. Smith speaking to county commissioner. It is literally waiting on a week-to-week basis about what we might be allocated. And then finally, this was statewide. Keep in mind, this is not just Henderson County. It's
right.
Every county in
right.
the state. They are under this huge amount of pressure to give shots in arms. They can't or they can't plan it as smoothly as it ought to be because of this problem. And then Steve Lawler, president of North Carolina Healthcare Association, which basically is the trade group for all the hospitals, tells Governor Roy Cooper and DHHS Secretary Mandy Cohen, when every week is a surprise, it's hard to plan if you have all the resources and the people that are distributing the shots. So then finally, we point out that on Monday, Dr. Cohen responded in a call with hospital leaders and county public health directors. She pledged that the state would guarantee a minimum baseline allocation each week for the next 3 weeks. So that is a long explanation of the problem, but I think it's important that people understand the problem, not only of supply and demand, which is a huge problem, but also the inability of the state up until now, and to some degree the federal government as well, to tell the state how many doses you got coming, not just next Tuesday, but on February 15th, February 28th, even on March 13th, so they can better plan. And so especially they're not in this situation that have to call people back that had an appointment and say, sorry, we have to reschedule your shot.
Right, right. We also want to remind folks, coming up just after 9:30 this morning, I was able to speak, get an interview and an update from Dr. Ellis yesterday morning. And of course, that was before the health department waiting list, which is all set up now. But we'll air that just after 9:30 this morning. That also helps sort of get behind the headlines on this also and get deeper into this story. But great coverage on this, Bill. Truly great coverage. And again, I want to remind folks, too, exactly what Dr. Ellis and both Steve Smith said when the first talk of vaccination started happening and the fact that we were going to start getting those vaccinations. They said, please, everyone, be patient. This is brand new territory. We've never been here before. We don't know what it's going to look like. Please be patient. And that's ultimately the best advice we can give anyone right now. Just be patient.
Yeah, be patient and take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Gradually improving, I would knock on wood and say, on this gradually improving organizational
yep.
delivery system. That is, if you can get through, and as far as I've heard nothing that it doesn't work, if you can get through, and we talked last week, Mark, about how Steve Smith was, when he was thinking about going to this wait list, he
yep.
warned people, well, would you want to do a wait list if you were number 12,000 or number 29,500? And he said, to a person, all the ones, and they were very, very upset. They were very emotional. They all said, yes, at least I would know that I have
yeah.
a date coming up.
Yeah.
And I have a date with the shot coming up.
Yep, I totally get that. Totally get that. All right, Bill, let's move on. If we can possibly move on beyond vaccines, there's actually more news. And, of course, leave it to the Hendersonville Lightning to sniff all of the news out. Let's talk about another story that you have you've been following, and it's right here on the front page also, and that's the halfway tree sewer solution. Talk to us about that, Bill.
Yeah, this is to a much smaller group, but it's been a very important need and desire out there at Halfway Tree, which has about 113, mostly now, didn't used to be this way, but mostly now full-time residents of those trailers. They own the trailers, the house trailers, but not the land underneath. They have to pay to a now new company called MVH Halfway Tree, which bought that property last May, Mark, for $3.3 million. But in the bargain, committed to running this sewer line, which will connect, and they're not charging a tap fee or a connection fee, which is saving every homeowner some a couple thousand dollars at least. And so they're connecting to the city water system via a big pipe from Irkwood to the to Halfway Tree, and then running lines, of course, under the streets in through there and to the homes. But it has been delayed to actually get into place far slower than everyone hoped, but it's moving ahead now. They've solved some problems. We read the Lightning story for all the gory details of running a sewer line and running it by boring through the ground instead of digging a real deep trench and so forth. But it looks like that is starting to progress maybe a little bit faster at this point, so that predictions that homes will be hooked up by in the summer, maybe for sure by Labor Day, but most, if not all of them, that is progressing. And they'll bring that in for a landing, as it were. Uh-huh. And people will have city water, which they do now. They'll have, which will be metered, which it is not now, which means they'll have a water bill. And of course, their water, your water bill, your sewer use is based on the measure, the metering of your water use. And that means that they're not supposed to have washers now, because they know of the septic tank overcapacity. And so that means people complain that they went up a lot on the cost of the they do have a little laundromat there in the clubhouse. So that will be a great added convenience. It's nice to have a washing machine in your home, and they will be able to when they are on these new sewer pipes.
Okay, fantastic. And of course, that story is on the front page of today's Lightning. A story that you have partially in the Lightning and also online at hendersonvillelightning.com. Let's talk about the school board and the city and the park swap that they're talking about regarding Edwards Park. And from what I understand, the putt-putt course may be saved.
It will be saved. I think the city administration and city council, and Mark, this is interesting. We talk a lot about partnerships, and this has got even more moving parts than it did, let's say, 2 months ago, because you now got, and it'll be really interesting to see, there's going to be change at Five Points, because if the county commission follows through, which it's looking very likely that it will, on its agreement to buy that VFW building, the Hedrick Roads post, to buy that building and really first repair it, all the things that need to be repaired, and then improve it, and then put the Veteran Services office in there, sustain the space needed for the VFW members to socialize and have meetings. Maybe even they'll return to bingo or something like that. So that will be going on, as it looks like, some probably longer time down the road, when the city gets ready to do that new Fire Station 1, which would basically bulldoze existing Fire Station 1 and build a new Fire Station 1, even though it's only about 20 years old, on that property. But we'll save that debate for another day. And they really want it to be there, and not that city looked at, actually, back to this park swap, they looked at swapping Berkeley Park for Edwards Park so they could build a fire station there. Can't do it now because that relied on the city also acquiring the VFW property. That they were never able to negotiate that all the way through to consummation. The city will not buy the VFW building. The city will not build a fire station at the Edwards Park property. Instead, the city will most likely in the future move the Laura E. Corn Memorial mini golf course from behind Fire Station 1 to Edwards Park, probably build a couple or more tennis courts as well on Edwards Park, because they would lose, in addition to the mini golf would be gone, it would be moved, but they also lose those, two tennis courts.
Yep.
Yeah. So then what happens at Berkeley Park? Very exciting. Very exciting. Berkeley Park then becomes the home baseball diamond for Hendersonville Bearcat varsity boys baseball team. The commitment, again, long-term, is for the school board to build for the Hendersonville Bearcat women a softball diamond on Berkeley Park land, and also to add the Bearcat varsity tennis courts, and there would be six of those, I believe, in order to have home matches there at Berkeley Park.
Wow.
The way distant future, as far as the eye can see, probably is the idea from school board chairman Blair Craven to one day build an aquatic center on that land. So really exciting. City retains some property for one of the higher priorities in this master plan that never got funded was to have a real nice destination playground for the children. And another high priority is a walking trail. And this agreement, if it is eventually consummated, agreed to by all parties and comes to pass, gives the city of Hendersonville the right to create a walking trail basically around the perimeter of the whole property, which would be, you know, which would be some miles long, I would think. So that's really exciting. Look for that the council may approve that as early as its February meeting.
All right, you answered my question right there. I was going to ask how far out might they be on those decisions and that agreement. Bill, let's touch on a couple of more stories that you have here in the Lightning before we finish Lightning Radio today. United Way of Henderson County has some new board members. You've got that story here in the Lightning.
Yeah, nice little headshots there, courtesy of the United Way. Of the six new board members that it seated, probably either December or in its January meeting, I suppose.
Yeah.
They are Kristen Bunch, Pauline Carpenter, Pam Combs, Sonia Garanda, Kimberla McMinn, and Carol Stefaniak. So congratulations to, in that case, all six young ladies joining that board. And most of them are well-known to many in the community as longtime servants and professionals. I'm sure will add a lot to that board's governance.
Yeah, and it's an amazing board to be on. I spent 6 years on that United Way board, and I've never looked back. I truly enjoyed my time really on that board, and to see with the difference that the United Way helps to make in our community. Hey, Ask Matt, another riveting edition of Ask Matt in this week's Lightning as well, too. A few questions he's answering.
Yeah, on that same page, you're exactly right. The fans of Ask Matt, and they are indeed legion, we'll be glad to see Matt. Yeah, you might recall he did that huge 5,000-6,000 word takeout on how the area industrial recruiters managed to land that Pratt & Whitney plant. And I don't, that didn't take the air out of his sails necessarily, but it was a lot of sailing for him to do. And he's been on hiatus. Usually what happens is he gets held for space. But anyway, he answered the question about what caused that fire at the Echo Mountain Inn. Again, it's not the main building where the rooms and the restaurant is, but right. it was a building off to the side that was used for offices, and they had a little day spa in there. And then a couple other questions about some things going on in schools. There's a question without a real answer yet about why did the applicant for that asphalt plant, Jeff Shipman of Southeastern Asphalt, why has he cleared that property there just off the ramp at the US 25 connector? And Matt unearthed the site plan permit for that, but it did not state what is going on that site. So Matt will or the Lightning will continue to bird dog that and see what we can find out about the plans for that piece of property.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right, Bill, we've really only touched on all of the news that is in this week's Lightning. There's plenty more. You need to pick up your copy of Hendersonville Lightning. Bill, tell everyone where they can. By the way, I do have it on record here that, yes, remote learning for Henderson County Public Schools has been canceled today due to widespread internet outages across the district. Okay. Again, remote learning for Henderson County Public Schools canceled today due to widespread internet changes or internet problems. All right, Bill.
And
tell,
they were not back to it's not till Monday
yeah.
that the children go back to that A days and B days where
right.
they go Thursday to. So that means that would mean no school for anybody, right?
Or, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a snow day without snow. It's a wind day, I guess, and we suspect the wind may be the cause of that problem, right?
I think probably so. We're getting gusts up to around 40 miles per hour, so I can only imagine that would probably be the issue for the internet problem. So, all right, Bill, tell everyone how they can pick up their copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning.
Well, if you'd like, don your windbreaker and go outside and visit any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county or other dealer partners such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and Publix grocery store inside, or take the easy road and do go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on subscribe, and that will walk you through how to very conveniently get your Lightning every Thursday when you would join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also easy as pie. Call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.